Hi, I'm Ken Carroll. These recordings are provided by ChinesePod.com.
This is a Learning 2.08 conference podcast. This and all conference conversations recorded live in September 2008.
As an audience, are we generally convinced that that's what we've got to do? So how do we do it? Is that the question? Yes, no. Saturday afternoon, asleep, had lunch. So, okay, how do we then kind of support that? So obviously we've got to create some kind of IT infrastructure. What will be a suitable IT infrastructure? What do I need to put in place to support that kind of change? These five things will definitely be part of it, but in some ways I think they're the easy bit. I have to say that kind of thing. And as, for example, one-to-one, as time goes on, we work with, generally speaking, kids who come from affluent backgrounds. If they haven't already got the device, they'll have it soon. As long as you approach it properly, parents have the money to pay and generally will be willing, I think. I think you've got to do something quite wrong to alienate parents from the idea of their children having a kind of a one-to-one access to a computer. So I think those things will come.
What age are you starting at?
What age do we start at? Four to 18.
Four-year-olds
to 18.
Four to 18.
Okay, one.
Four to 18.
What age do you expect
to
have their own devices?
Well, we haven't got a one-to-one laptop program. And that's a good question. The issue for me is, one, I don't think that kids, I don't think ubiquitous computing is a child carrying a laptop around all day. That to me is a very, what's the word? It's a sledgehammer approach. It's a sledgehammer solution, which I'm not saying is not effective, but there are lots of issues around it. The issue is, do you have access to a suitable device when you need it? Which is a different solution. One of the things we're trying to do at Apple, so I think for the older kids, it probably will involve them carrying around some kind of device with them. For the younger ones, we're very interested in the netbook kind of devices, Acer Aspires, because they're so much cheaper. And if we know that the older kids have got their own machines, we can make a lot more of those available to the younger students, so that when they need it, they have it. I also don't think, I was in a session earlier as well, it is not appropriate for kids to use the technology in every lesson every day. It'll become equally boring and tedious and all the rest of it as other things they may do. So it's about balance and choice. So having access when you need it is the key, and that is not all the time, is my personal belief. But what I think is key to it is what they access. And again, this is something I think when I talk to a school, other people who are doing one-to-one laptop, this seems to be left out of it. So they've got their laptop. What are they using it to get to? The internet is fake and comic. But I think it's important to have in place a coherent digital learning space. It's not my phrase, I picked it up, but it's this kind of idea. What do they actually access through these machines? So you need to put in place a range of systems. Not all of them the kids will access, some of them are for your teachers. Obviously you've got to support that teaching and learning. You've got to be able to communicate with parents as well as students. But you need a kind of comprehensive set of tools. And as much as possible, we're trying to make these internet-based, hardware agnostic. I want my kids to be able to access their learning materials through their Xbox, through their PSP, as well as their iPhone or their laptop. Then it is anywhere, anytime learning. One thing I would say about this whole thing can't be an IT initiative. You've got to think about, okay, what are we trying to do? It's got to be a whole school initiative, and what you've got to be looking at is thinking, it's not about deploying IT technology, it's about improving administration, communication, and the absolute key one, teaching and learning. Because if what you're doing does not improve the lot of the children, then it's a very expensive waste of time. And ultimately people won't use it. So I do think that's kind of, obviously, as tech educators or without learning, it's easy to focus on the technology, but it has all the time. It should be, what's the value to kind of teaching and learning? So we started off, we kind of went through some of this thought process, we thought about it, and we sat down, and I was basically told, we want to put in place 21st century learning environment. Go away and do it. So I sat down, and the first thing I did was try and identify all the possible areas of the school functioning where I could put an IT system into place, or where we might already have an IT system in place. Very proud of this diagram.
Long time to do.
I will put the original, thank you, with the up on the slides as well. But it's kind of like, okay, these are all the different things. I have actually got an updated version as well, which I've actually put some more things on the bottom that over time I've added on. But I can't bring myself to try and squeeze them into the original. And many of you, I'm sure, in the same position. It's like when if you think about trying to do a comprehensive system, what's my reaction to that diagram? It's scary. And if it's scary for me, it's going to be a hell of a lot more scary for teachers or students or parents. And that's where we kind of came into it. Okay, it's complex, but we need to think carefully about how we're going to approach it and how we're going to actually, how the end product ends up appearing to people. So obviously that kind of having lots of online systems, having a common data set, that's the first step. But it can very, very easily appear to be a daunting mess. And we kind of quickly realised very early on, we have to be able to tie them together into a coherent whole. Because if what you end up with is not usable, has a sensible workflow, the teachers will never accept it. And the students won't accept it, and the parents won't accept it, and nobody will use it. Okay. And as I say, I am a teacher as well. I do still teach. So it's important to me as well, because at times I'm the person using it. So we kind of took a step back a little bit and said, okay, what can we do to bring all these things together as well? We were at the same time looking to redo our college website. So we, not particularly novel idea, but the idea of, okay, we'll have the public side, the brochure, and then we'll have a login side, but then we made sure that it knew who you were when you logged in, and then it gave you a personalised view of the rest of our systems. But the first thing is a single point of access, where you can start to get the start from a single place, get the key information in one place, and then branch out to other places if you want to. Okay, to try and make it, where do I go? Well, there's always a single place to start. Okay, we thought that was quite key. So we came up with the idea of a portal requirement. So we needed a content management system for the website and the internet. We wanted to launch other systems through single sign-on. We're basically a PC school. We use that big Active Directory network. We have a few members of staff with Macs and things, and we try to support them as well, but essentially we're a PC shop. We need to be able to extend it and customize it. But for again, I didn't want to have to add another system and another vendor into the mix. So we did actually pick out, we'd already made a decision about our e-learning platform, which is StudyWiz. The eTech group that make that actually started out as a web site design company. So they actually had this. So we used them to develop our portal system. These guys are around, you can talk to them as well. And the portal is another product that they sell along with their e-learning platform. But we went with them to actually construct the portal. 3 years ago, SharePoint wasn't an option. It wasn't mature then. But I'd be honest, if I was doing it again, I would look at SharePoint now to do that. Not because this isn't good, but I think you certainly need to be looking around. And this, after a bit of time, is where we ended up with. What the colours show is different systems that we picked to perform these different tasks. And again, in the sheet that I'll upload to the wiki, it shows you what the systems are for each of the colours. The main one is the one in yellow, which is our management information system, which is a Serco facility, it's out of the UK. And the one in orange, although in terms of boxes it's not very big, this is our portal and our e-learning environment. And in some ways, this side of it is more important than the yellow, because this is the public face. And this is the bit that most people interact with most frequently. And a lot of the yellow stuff is backroom office. People might see the results of it, but they're not actually interacting with that system. So it's not, the amount of colour does not necessarily represent the kind of importance, if you like, of what's going on. But we kind of link them together. So this is our college website. I took a screenshot a few days ago. This has gone through two or three iterations. One of the key things for us for the homepage was that we wanted, we knew we couldn't fit all the information we needed to for all our different audiences on the front page. So the idea is to very quickly filter people off into other places that they can go. So it's the visitors, the public side, prospective staff, they can go straight and find our stuff. We've got another alumni website, foundation for fundraising, and then the login for the portal. They said that we've now got two campuses, you choose which campus you're going to, and on the next level down, it's actually campus specific as well as role specific, whether you're a parent or teacher. If you follow this side in, it's just a fairly normal website, which we've all got, so it's all, you know, lots of why we're wonderful, you should send your children to us, flash movies and text, all that kind of thing. But built in a content management system rather than a Dreamweaver or anything like that. It does allow us for some sections of the website. We do actually give responsibility for that to individual teachers and things, but the content management system is quite easy to run and they can edit and upload pages that are relevant to them to save the webmaster having to do everything. This then is what appears after you, if you've logged in on that website. This is the front page of the what we call the e-community, the portal homepage. So we're still kind of in the portal. Point out before, the system knows who I am, and I'm an administrator as well, so I get a couple of extra rights there. But the kind of key idea, obviously, is we're trying to bring together, so we've got the news and upcoming events, which may be different from the front page, because now you've logged in, we know you're a member of the community, you might be getting different, more specific news. Access to our latest communications or archive, and we're starting to pull together stuff from other systems. So, for example, if you clicked my calendar here, it's actually pulling the calendar out from the e-learning platform. It's pulling it up from there and displaying it at this level. And what we're hoping to do soon, maybe in the next few months or things, is for students and things, is to bring up, there's a message section I'll show you in a minute from the e-learning platform. We're perhaps trying to bring that up onto this front page. And maybe for teachers, their emails, their unread emails, bring that to here. So again, it's kind of one place to start. The information you need immediately is there. And then you can start to dig yourself down.
So did somebody create this for you? Is that what you're saying?
No. This is, was it we have a content management system,
yeah.
But what you're seeing is all created internally by, we had a small team of people kind of design the website. We do have a full-time webmaster, or webmistress in fact, she's a lady, who took kind of the key ideas of the group and turned some of it in. This is the kind of second version of it. There was a much uglier version that I did first time. She cataloged and kind of made it better. But the idea was, kind of ideas were there, but it was done in-house. We took a decision early on that we could pay somebody else a lot of money for doing it, and all they would do is take our ideas, so we might as well just do it ourselves. It's not perfect or finished.
Software are you using to make the website?
It's a content management system from the e-tech company. So it's a, if you know much about content management systems, it's a fairly straightforward product in that sense. But it sits on top of our e-learning platform. And because they're from the same company, they can pull stuff out. So it's got some of the same features as our e-learning platform, as I say, but some of the information showing here in the portal, we can pull that up because of that link. What we're doing here, a key feature of the portal is that it linked into our other systems. So here, these are links to other systems we've got. So there's the StudyWiz e-learning platform itself, our staff email system, which we use the Zimbra. I don't know if you know that. It's a completely web-based, it's an award-winning Web 2 email system. It uses Ajax, Zimbra.
Zimbra.
I said one of the sheets I'll upload to the wiki shows for all those systems that I showed you. It actually gives the details and the websites for all the products we're using. ePortal into our, there's a link here into our student management system. We use Atlas as well. We use Destiny for our library system. And Your Alumni for our alumni website. A lot of these are big products from different, so we've got systems from the UK, Australia and America just to help. Anybody got into SIF compatibility yet? The wonderful standard for everything talking together. The problem is the UK has one version, America has one version, and Australia has a third version. So we've got systems that are all SIF compatible, but not from the same continent. Anyway. So when you click these links, the idea is that through single sign-on, so you've already signed in once, been authenticated against our Active Directory, when you click any of these links, you're taken straight into the next system. You don't have to sign in again. So if I click... So if I click the link, this example, this is the management information system, the web view of the management information system. So this is, basically, this page is designed to enable a class teacher to run their class. So they'll get links for the registration, and this is the classes on that day. So whichever day you log in, it will show you for that day. Notices that we use here, you can click more, and this goes to a whole full page view of it. Very interesting version of She Bangs by our chemistry department. Seems there. We do all the report result entry online. So all these are result entry templates. We do all our reports and assessments are entered online through the system. You can get, again, today's timetable, list of teaching sets, enable you to do anecdotal comments and things. And if you're a tutor, it will highlight to you any anecdotal comments that have been sent about your tutor group. Quite a powerful tool for helping class teachers. You can search for information about any student or any teacher in the college by doing that. I'll just show you, for example, if you go down, this is the information page for an individual student, one of my wonderful grade 12 IB computing science students. So you get information, contact details, I can find through whether brothers or sisters, what her timetable is, her teaching group, check out her attendance, and I can drill down into that and get detailed information on attendance. Also, all of her previous reports and assessments are available on the system. They're stored as PDFs. So we actually do publish the reports online for parents. Parents can log into this and see a much briefer version of this, but they can check personal details, they can check attendance, they can see reports and assessments online through this as well. Then this is the e-learning system, StudyWiz. Spent quite a bit of time looking at different systems. We did look at Moodle and Blackboard. We chose StudyWiz for various reasons. But one thing I'm saying you have to do it this way, you have to use these products. One of the key things is you have to work out what works for your institution. And definitely, depending on the cultural background, you know, particularly for management information systems, I was saying to somebody earlier, I think, in my experience, if the product's coming out of Australia, it's going to suit schools that follow the Australian model. If it's coming out of America, it's going to suit schools that follow that model. Out of the UK, and so on. But a lot of them don't fit. You know, they just don't work when you try and put them across other countries. So there are lots of things I like about StudyWiz, but it's not necessarily perfect or the ideal solution for everybody. But lots of ways to communicate. This is the calendar that you could see at the view above. When you go through to the resources tab, this is where you get, this is what's called a learning page. So this relates to a particular class, in this case my higher IB computer science. And it allows you, I can start, you know, breaking up the course into different units, present information about that, and then I've got lots of resources related to that particular unit. Some of these resources will be standard Word or PowerPoint, but StudyWiz as a system also has a lot of built-in resources for itself, some of these Web2 tools. One of the things, again here obviously, wikis and blogs are getting a lot of coverage here. And I definitely think they are powerful online tools, and the basic idea of using online tools to support education I agree with. I'm interested to see how using something like WikiPaint or PBWiki, you could use that for every teacher in your school, for every student, and whether that, you know, predictability, safety, that kind of thing, whether you can do it with that kind of tool. I'll be honest, I don't think you can. I think you perhaps need to use a learning management system which gives you one point of entry, safety issues are covered because it's internal, But also just things like training and support. You've got one product to support. Training is easier to do. And that's, whenever I think of training teachers, I'm thinking 500 teachers, how do I train? I need. I can't be teaching 3 or 4 different things for the same tool. Now again, the main message is pick one and run it. But all these free Web 2 tools, I'm interested about how, as an institution, you could really use those long term on a large scale. I'm not saying it can't be done. Sorry, did you?
Do you keep these on your own servers, or are they hosted somewhere else?
We do have our own servers, but you can have them hosted as well. It depends what you do. You've got quite a big server farm. A key part of us for this whole online space is what's called the e-locker. So there is an online storage space that the kids can use to keep files and data and things like that. But I think this is a key part of the idea of anytime, anywhere access. Again, it's like, there's no point if your laptop dies and all your data was on that laptop, what do you do? You're kind of stuck. Anywhere, anytime access means that you know your data has to be stored somewhere centrally, so whatever machine you move to, you can get to that data. Another key component that we're thinking about a lot at the moment as well is applications as well. If the kids are moving towards, doesn't matter which device they're using, what do we do about application delivery down to kids? It's easy for Office, but for a lot of the more, you know, Adobe, Photoshop, stuff like this, specialized 3D modeling and stuff like that. The answer we're looking at is application virtualization technology, something called SoftGrid from Microsoft. I think is a powerful way that you can use not only within the school but also actually deliver applications to students at home through that technology. And one of the nice things about StudyWiz as an e-learning platform is that the e-locker here, you can map this using WebDAV technology, so you don't have to log into StudyWiz up and download files from within it. You can map it effectively like a network drive, so you can save directly to and from it from Office documents or stuff like that, or drag and drop into the folder without actually having to log all the way into the online system. Another key point, we have put these in place, so all these systems are in use. It's not 100% by any means. We have the management system everybody has to use because we use it for attendance, we use it for reports. The e-learning system, although we have pushed it out across the school, we're not in a position yet where we're saying you must be using it. But we are putting a lot of more and more pressure on to be there. But we've definitely got some teachers who are hiding under the table and hoping that it will go away. Maybe they're starting to lose that. But we're definitely not looking to replace or reduce the teacher contact time. It's because the face-to-face interaction between teachers and students is the key part of a school-based education. I believe that. That's what we believe as an institution. So what we're trying to do is to increase the quality of that face-to-face interaction, partly by removing kind of mechanical and administrative issues, but also creating extended opportunities outside the classroom and things like that. So that's the kind of the motivation behind a lot of these technologies. It's not about replacing teachers. It's about helping them to do their job better so that the kids overall have a better experience. Conditions for success, again, a lot of this, you've been to some of the other sessions, it's not my thinking or rocket science, but you've got to have that coherent vision coming from the top. shared, I have heard that this means that everyone's got to agree with the vision, but I think that's a utopian. It's not going to happen. So at least you've got to be telling people what it is, and if they're saying no, well, as long as they're a minority, you keep going. And obviously coherent. The key thing for me all the time with this is, how do I tie all these systems together? How do I make them work? How does Atlas, my curriculum mapping system, fit with my e-learning system? How does my management information system fit my e-learning? Because I have to be able to give teachers a coherent message. When they're saying, what do I use this for, I don't understand. You've got to be able to say, like, you do this with this, we do this with this, we do this with this. Bang, bang, bang. And at the end of that, you know, what are you trying to achieve? What's the point? Reassure teachers or explain to teachers and parents and students what's the point. why are we doing it? I also think this is it's huge, and it will take years. I mean, we're kind of 3 years into it, and I still think we're very near the beginning. And in some ways, it will be a never-ending process, because as soon as we've got this sorted out, some sod will change the technology, and we'll have to, you know, whatever's the next one after blogs and wikis, I don't know. But you know, we'll be having to keep up. But I think institutionally, you know, this kind of idea, well, everyone's got the laptop now, we finished. It's no. So you just got, you know, institutionally, particularly the people at the top, you've got to realise it's a long journey. Because like I say, we started 3 years ago as an institution, but some teachers, you know, are still hiding on the platform kind of thing. They're not on the train yet at all.
I think teaching's always been a never-ending journey.
Sure.
Even before
technology. That's it, hitting on a maglev. And obviously, it requires lots of resources. What's the most important one? That one, which costs that. But this is it. I mean, all the time, I talk to teachers, I don't know how to do this, I lack training. Nope, you lack time to do the training. I can give you more training, but you won't be able to come. In our school, that's the problem. It's about time. And even if you've had the training, you have to assimilate it, you have to talk to your colleagues about it, you have to work out what good practice is. So it's, time is the hard one. You know, and again, if people think they've only got a little bit of time, they can't commit a long amount of time, they won't. It's not worth it, because I know I'm not going to be able to do it properly. So that is the big one. What can you do to make it happen? I think you need to be able to try and give clear policies and practices, what you expect, when you expect it, so that people have guidance, they have an expectation as well, they understand what they're expected to do, and then they can learn how to do it. You do need to change practice, I think. We don't do this, we never did do that, but anyway, but that kind of thing. It's information that they used to get from somewhere else, make them get it in your system. We used to have a lot of teachers, we used to have a lot of subjects that had subjects websites, so they'd already kind of bought into e-learning, but they were using different tools, we took them all away. But we had a good rationale for doing it, and I could go to each department and I could say, well look, this is what you used to do on your website, here's how you can do that better, as well as conform. From an institutional perspective, it's quite important, but you do need to think about how you can do this, you know, for the betterment. I have heard a story, I don't know if it's true or not, about it. Principal who put an e-learning platform in and decided started a forum discussion about potential pay changes, and he said the only way I will take comments is through the online forum in the e-learning system. And by the end of the day, every teacher found their way into that forum to comment. If you give them enough motivation, they'll work out how to do it. That's the kind of thing you need to do. Think about how can we get people in, what are we going to do. It's what we're trying to do quite a lot. We indoctrinate the new staff. We had 80 new staff start this year because of our new campus and our existing campus. We've increased the staff-student ratio on our existing Dover campus. But back in spring, we sent them all logins and everything to the e-learning system, and we set up a gallery, one of the particular resources, and we said, please go in, upload your photo, make a comment about yourself, start introducing yourself to the other new staff. Information about Singapore, information about housing was posted through the e-learning system, and staff were asked to go there to get it. So they were kind of, you know, they think it's normal right from the off kind of thing. Same for staff, kind of students and parents, and you start to get that change process going. They never knew any different. So get them in, get them running, and don't give them time to realise that nobody else is doing it. You know? Let them stop. An exaggeration, but it's if you do that, you know, you obviously get some refresh each year. But we're increasingly finding as well, as I'm sure others are, that new staff are coming in with experience of e-learning and others. They want to do it straight away, and it's like, well, this is how I ran my classroom in the other thing, how do I do that here? So you've got to bring people in and show, okay, this is how we do it. So increasingly staff are coming in with that expectation as well. Students do pick things up very quickly, but they do still need some training and guidance, particularly on the finer points of organisational skills, or in our case, how do they map their e-lockers? They can use things like bookmarks to bring some things to the front of the system and stuff like that. That kind of thing does need to be taught to children. The messaging system is in there. It's internal, but at the moment we let all the students message all the other students. So you need a discussion about what's expected and respect. So far, haven't had any problems with that really. No bad messaging or anything. Parent, not so much training, but you need to keep them involved with various things. We try to use our PA, Parents Association, to support that. And they do have access, all our systems, so the parents have access to the management information system, although they see a very limited view of their child. They also have access to the learning system as well, so they can go in and see what their students are doing with their teachers and things like that, although they can't interact with stuff. So if it's an interactive resource, the parents aren't allowed, they're not allowed to do the test or the assignment. But they can get in there and see it. And we made a conscious decision at the beginning that when we rolled the platform out, we would give parents access from the beginning when it was empty, because we felt if we had to, if we made them wait, we would create an expectation which we couldn't live up to. Well, it's been a year, they couldn't get us in for a year, so it must be brilliant now, it's finished. And then it wouldn't be. So we let them in right at the beginning with no expectation. We just kind of keep pulling them back.
The financial side, can parents pay the fees online, for example? Is it linked into that yet?
No, we actually have our finance system is completely separate from this, so we don't, our management information system doesn't have a finance module, our finance people keep it separate, partly because they're paranoid accountants kind of thing, and they want to keep all this, so in fact their network is completely separate from our admin network, but that's slow changing. In Singapore, if you use the credit card, then you've got to put the credit card percentage on top of what they're paying already. So we basically say, so if you pay your fees by credit card, it costs you an extra 3%. So most parents don't want to do that anyway, so we don't have much demand for paying online. So no. For teachers, particularly with the e-learning platform, I think you need to kind of develop a core group, I call them advocacy group. You develop the skills with, you try things. That's where you develop your policies and practices. You work out what's going to work with a small group who are fairly resilient and you can communicate with and kind of develop stuff before you roll it out to everybody. So that when you do roll it out to everybody, you've got clear, you can be clear, and you've got consistent, and you've got stuff that you know works. And they, in turn, that core group of advocates, so they're not all IT people. They will then become kind of peer support in their department or their grade. And if you're doing it really well, you'll give them some extra time or money for doing that. Which we didn't. Not because I didn't want to. There we go. Comprehensive training as well, I think, is important. So you can see progression, expectations. It adds an element of legitimacy to what you're doing. So if you can find products that have their own training programs or develop one yourself. It's one of these things, actually. I was giving out teachers, you know, we're all very cynical people. British teachers certainly are. So I was giving out, I gave out a whole load of certificates for the first level of our e-learning training. I just put it into people's pigeonhole because I'm like, there's no way I can do this in a stand-up presentation. They certainly won't take that. And there was a lot of the kind of coffee break when people came along and they found their certificates. There was lots of joking and kind of silly. But over the next 2 or 3 days, I had a few people come to me say, why didn't I get a certificate? So it's kind of one of those things where, although in public they might not, I think people actually quite, we all like to be rewarded and recognised. But flexible delivery again is key. We've kind of, we don't have the time to take teachers off timetable to deliver 2 days of external training. So we do a lot of half-hour sessions, one-hour session. Here's how you do a very specific thing in there. Here's how you use this resource. Here's how you use that resource. And deliver that at various times so people can just come along, do something fairly quick and simple and move on. I think years will take a long time. If you're using these systems, a big part of it, obviously here in Asia, we've had SARS. Bird flu is not some, you know, pie in the sky thing to us. Singapore or Malaysia, we get the haze from Indonesia. Very nice of them to export that to us as well. Isn't here from Malaysia? Or Singapore, we've got some. closed for Hayes. So campus closure is a very real thing. So a lot of, you know, I hear people saying, right, we've got to get an e-learning system in case the campus closes. The key thing about that is you've got to make sure it works. And when I say work, you've got to make sure it works when everybody is at home accessing the system from outside, because it's not the same as doing it in school. You know, your internet connections, your systems, stuff like that. Be prepared for failure, okay? We did our first big one of these in February. So just after Chinese New Year, the kids stayed off for another day. Teachers all came in for a training day, but the teachers, grade 6 to 12, which should have all posted the work for the kids on StudyWiz. So I'm sitting there thinking, you know, we're planning it beforehand. We did lots of planning. We did think about it. But I thought, okay, but you know, you think about usage patterns. Well, it's a holiday. The kids are going to lie in. They're going to go out. And they're going to kind of come at it at different parts of the day. And grade 12s will be doing it at midnight like they normally do it and that kind of stuff. 8:10, 2,000 kids log in. 8:15, system falls over. Okay. Next 4 hours. Constantly trying to bring the system back up, and it constantly goes down. And the number of logins is going up. So we peaked at about 3,000 concurrent logins, which, considering we only had 2,000 kids, was a bit, what's going on here? And what we found out afterwards was that the kids at home were going, like, I was talking to the kids, it's like, well, I logged in on my laptop, it didn't work. So then I tried my mum's computer, logged in on that as well, but it still wasn't working. And then I tried dad's computer, and I tried my brother's computer, and it wasn't working on all four of them. And it was like, oh, my God. But I feel it was a successful test, even though it fell over. Because now we know, and we've made structural changes, so that next time it won't fall over. But if it's a big part of your contingency plan, you want to make sure it works. And when it does, then you can start to get teacher training days for free. Because I think you'll find that parents will start to accept that, okay, you can send the kids home for a day, but still teach them, and the teachers can be in school doing other things for that kind of thing. But the thing we weren't ready for was when it fell over. So we didn't have a way to communicate to the parents that it wasn't, you know, if we could have just said to the parents, look, stop trying for half an hour and we can get it sorted out, we could have got it sorted out much quicker. But because they kept trying, it took us 4 hours before we could get anything going again. That was a little bit embarrassing on the time. So, that's it from me. Sorry, there's my email address. Catch me. I do have a few cards at the front, but happy to take questions or comments.
How much did this all cost?
The software is actually probably the cheaper part of it, because we have our own servers for it. So we've got, I don't know, something like 40-odd servers, Blade servers connected to a very big SAN, so we've got several terabytes worth of storage now. We do back all that up. And so the hardware is the more expensive part of it. A lot of this software is relatively cheap, but I've never really sat down and all added up, but it's probably Sing dollars, getting on for $1 million Sing dollars, which is what's that in US? 600-700 US over 3 years. But you could, that's a lot of, that's to do with the scale of our institution. So a lot of that, because of the number of students we have, that's how much we have to spend. But the in particular, the software tends to be much cheaper. Like the maintenance for the e-learning system is only, that's in Australian dollars, just convert that over to US, maybe $10,000-$15,000 US or something like that is the yearly fee past the implementation.
Now, did you guys have to go to train, or do they come to your location and train you, or?
We've done both. They've come to us. What we've actually done with our e-learning system and some of the others is we've had people internally trained to a level where we can now deliver training ourselves. And I think that's a good way to go, because it's a lot cheaper in the end.
Ben, you mentioned training for teachers, and I guess that's a lot to do with the technology. And my experience of this is that it has a profound effect on the way teachers teach, because when kids have this connectivity,
it completely alters the dynamic in the room. So I guess the piece that I would be interested in seeing as well is the whole professional development piece, which is another huge piece, which is more about the learning side, the curriculum side. But it seems to me that's an essential piece as well, because when the kids have this power, it really makes you said about teachers' roles changing, roles, because teachers have to create and design learning environments that facilitate learning. It's very different to the way a lot of teachers have been trained to teach. So I'd say that that's for me, that's the most profound challenge of this kind of program, is that it has all that knock-on effect, and it really empowers kids as learners, which really changes everything.
Yeah, and it's not at the moment, that's one of our weakest areas. It's pedagogical training. When I deliver the skills training, I do try and put it into an educational context as much as possible and show the type of learning you can do.
Yeah.
But it's internal. One of the things, that it can't be an IT initiative. I'm desperately trying.
That's for your learning.
To shift the focus. Like when people are talking about studies, I want it to be the vice principals of curriculum talking about.
Exactly.
And they do, but only in a very general way. And they're not good. Some of the classic things we're seeing again. They themselves do not model the good behaviour they're talking about and stuff like that. So it's definitely it's a weakness of what we have done. And you're right, it is very important.
Yeah, because there is a strand about training on technology, but there's a much bigger strand.
Well, I think they do fit together, because when you're training them, you talk about pedagogy. But it's another big part of the time. The teachers need to be able to go away in their department and talk to each other about what works and experiment and swap ideas.
And I think teachers are still developing their vision for what it does actually look like.
Sure.
It's still very new, international.
And it's interesting when you go to e-learning platform, whatever you go to, every time I go to a meeting of teachers that are using it, someone's come up with another way of using it. There's another way.
Have you developed a distributed leadership model that helps in the implementation of such a broad-based plan in the world?
Well, I'm using department heads in a different way than
traditional. No. We're trying to develop kind of distributed support from IT, so like trying to put more IT practitioners in place who can support the teaching and learning, but no, not with the department.
The breadth of what you're trying to do is so enormous that it's not going to be able to really be successful.
I know, we're trying to, like with heads of departments, like the management information system, we're trying to get them to use their like data-driven analysis. They can run reports, there's a back-end part to it. So they're starting to look at the grades across their classes, look at the trends, and start to give them the tools to do that and start to change that.
Does this keep track of like lunch count or anything? Do you keep the financials completely separate or?
We do, yeah. Because it's a different thing.
This and all Learning 2.08 podcasts are released under a Creative Commons 3.0 share alike license. To learn more about the Learning 2.08 conference, visit our website at learning2cn.ning.com.